Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we're standing by here. We're going to be taping Kent Sterling. This will just be a taping, and so we'll be doing that in just a moment.
Hi, you've reached the voicemail of Kent Sterling. Please leave a message. I'll call you back as quick as I can.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Ken, it's Tom. I can try to call you back here in just a moment, or you want to try back the number 917-889-8516. I'll send you a Facebook message as well.
Hi, you've reached the voicemail of Kent Sterling. Please.
Hi, Kent.
Yes.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, sorry about that.
Oh, no. Don't worry. Don't worry. I didn't know if I had told you I was going to be calling through Skype. A lot of people don't answer numbers. They don't know or anything. So it's cool. It's all good.
Okay.
What we'll do is we'll just do a I want to talk about this triplet thing. Obviously, you nailed it on the head that Jeff Triplett is a disgrace to the game and should be fired. So we're definitely going to talk about that.
All right.
And maybe talk a little bit about the Pacers and the Colts and, you know, wherever the conversation might lead. Is there anything particular that you want me to touch on there on that? Or
no, that sounds good.
All right. Okay. Well, what we'll do is I'll just do a countdown, and then we'll just go right into it. Three, two, one. Hi, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente, my minions. It is so good to be with you. Getting closer and closer to Christmas. Joining us now from 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis, and KentSterling.com is the one, the only, the infamous Mr. Kent Sterling. Kent, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Great. How are you?
Fantastic. Have you braved the cold? Have you survived the cold this week? It has been miserable here in the Midwest in Indianapolis.
I ignore the weather entirely. I don't dress for it. I just cold is just it's kind of like, you know, there's a movie Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze, and in that movie he says pain don't hurt. Well, for me, cold doesn't make a bit of difference to how I live my life.
Well, I hear you, and so many people get worked up by the weather reports, and I got a kind of a chuckle. You know, we got a little bit of a snowstorm, and everybody's like, "Oh, this is going to be the snowstorms of snowstorms," and you know, prepared. And it, you know, literally from one network to another, you were either getting 1 inch or 9 inches. So I think,
right.
I think I was telling some people, I said, I think weathermen just need to get together and say, you know what, we really don't know what's going on. When it snows and when it's done, that's how much you got, but we just know that there's going to be some snow on the way.
Wouldn't that be refreshing? Absolutely.
Well, joining us now, like I said, is Kent Sterling from KentSterling.com and 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis. Now, Kent, one of the reasons, one of the biggest reasons I brought you on this show today was to talk with you about this debacle with the Cincinnati Bengals game and the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, they're in a battle. Indianapolis ended up winning the division again. Thank you, Peyton Manning, yet again. But they could have wrapped it up with the Bengals. Now, I don't know that this call with Jeff Triplett would have made the difference as looking back, but it certainly would have maybe been a momentum changer. So what I want to do real quickly here, you wrote an excellent article on your website, KentSterling.com. NFL official Triplett, Jeff Triplett is a disgrace to the game and should be fired. So let's just take that first part of it. I want to know why you say, of course, refs get bad calls all the time. That doesn't necessarily make them a disgrace to the game. You individualized Jeff Triplett and said he is a disgrace to the game. Can you explain to us why that is?
Well, there was the previous bad call from last week with the Giants and the Redskins game, where the Redskins were kind of awarded a timeout. They moved the sticks, and then Triplett decided to reverse the timeout or the first down, but not stop the clock in order to reverse it. So things got very confused, and the Redskins, they didn't lose as a direct result. It was kind of like the bogus touchdown deal in Cincinnati, but it was a terrible call. It was administrated poorly. And then not only did Triplett make the bad call, where Josh, they got the call on the field right. He went under the hood and reversed a correct call when there was no compelling evidence to suggest that the initial call was wrong. There's a pattern of terrible calls by this guy where he kind of betrays a lack of knowledge of the rules. Later in the game, there was a clear grounding. Intentional grounding call that wasn't made. The officials discussed it, and they said Triplett said that Andy Dalton was out of the pocket. Well, he wasn't even out of the guard box, much less the tackle box. I don't think that he knows the rules. I don't think he knows how to enforce them. And making a bad call under review is almost impossible. We've got to sit through these interminable instant replay challenges,
And here's a guy who uses one and reverses a call that was actually correct. And that's not, I don't think that's the intent of the instant replay system.
Well, absolutely, and I totally agree with you. And it kind of gives me an eerie reminder of what happened back when the refs were on strike. You would think that maybe this was one of those replacement refs that we dealt with. And, you know, you're not the only person who has said that he needs to be fired. But you look at the head of officiating, Mike Piera, was absolutely shocked that Triplett does not know the simplest of rules. I guess maybe for the novice fan out there, maybe they don't know the rules and what was going on. Can you walk us through, just give us the Reader's Digest, dumb it down version for those fans that maybe don't really understand a lot about the rules about football. What was the key element on that? Because it's clearly that the Bengal players scored. Now, what happened before the score is the problem in the review. Can you talk with us about what that rule was and what Triplett missed in that particular rule?
Josh Chapman caused Ben Jarvis Green Ellis to trip. So, and he didn't trip immediately, but Josh Chapman hit his foot. It threw Ben Jarvis Green Ellis off balance. He fell down. The ball was down 6 inches shy of the end zone, so it should have gone over on downs to the Colts. If Josh Chapman doesn't touch Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, then he's not down. You must be touched down. The contact with an opponent must be initiated in order for a player to be ruled down. And in that case, he was. It was correctly called. And then somehow, under the hood, Jeff Triplett decided not to look far enough or deep enough into the replay to see Josh Chapman hit Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in the foot.
Well, and when we look at the replay of that, and I looked at it several times during the game, and even the CBS commentators said, we are just shocked about this. You can see his foot clearly grabbed. So it's not a matter of – I don't think it's a matter of, hey, we couldn't make it out, or maybe – I mean, I think everybody in America that saw this game, saw that play – saw that there was a clear grab to the foot. So it just brings me to the question, does Triplett know the rules, and why isn't head of NFL officiating, Mike Piera, why is he not putting his foot down, like you said, firing him? Why does he still have a job? Why does he still have the ability to go out there and officiate a game?
Well, there's that, and then there's Roger Goodell, who's constantly talking and preaching about the integrity of the game, and fining players, fining coaches, fining front office personnel for violating what he believes to be the integrity of the game. And then to allow an official to fundamentally change the result of the game. You know, whether the Colts would have won or the Colts would have lost, that's open for conjecture. 7-0, 14-0, those are radically different scores to go into halftime and have to battle back from. For him to put himself in a situation where he can make that kind of terrible call and that terrible judgment. And, you know, Rick Venturi is a really smart guy who is in the NFL for a long time, I think 26 years. And Rick always says that his dad told him the first thing a coach has got to be able to do is out-coach the fans. And the first thing that an official has got to be able to do is out-officiate the fans. And on that score, Jeff Triplett is just a miserable failure. Fans at home knew the result of that play conclusively before Jeff Triplett did, and then Jeff Triplett reversed what everybody knew to be a fact. And you can't have that kind of thing. There's so much money being wagered on NFL games. There's so much at stake that to allow a guy like this to week after week after week officiate games and put the final score and the result of that game in his hands is just an abomination.
Well, and you look, this isn't, you know, this is not recent. In recent, like in the last few games, we had issues with Triplett dating all the way back to 2009. If you remember the Dallas Cowboy and Green Packer game, Triplett decided to go monitor and review a fumble recovery, and at that time, fumble recoveries were not reviewable plays. So we go all the way back to 2009 on this.
he's also the guy who threw the flag in Orlando Brown's eye way back when Orlando Brown played for the Browns, and his career was ruined as a result. You know, this is a guy who's just raised hell all over the place in the National Football League and has never been, to my knowledge, held accountable and never ultimately held accountable by losing his job. And if anybody deserves to lose his job as an employee of the NFL, it's this guy.
Well, I've gotten any feedback, maybe not, and maybe I haven't read it, and he's probably smart for not speaking out, but has Triplett spoke out himself in defense of these, if you will?
He talked to, immediately after the game, the referee is interviewed by a pool reporter who shares the quotes. And he was interviewed by the pool reporter, and Triplett said that the player was not touched back to the beginning of the point where he started to watch the replay. So what was shared with him from the booth was that what never started to, this is his explanation, never started back far enough to be able to see whether Josh Chapman hit Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in the foot or not, which is, to me, just crazy because Triplett, from his vantage point, is looking at that play directly at the point where at the great angle of Josh Chapman hitting the guy in the foot. And if not feeling back the replay to that point, then what are you watching? And why did you go to the replay in the beginning? None of it made any sense, and that's usually the case with Triplett's explanations. They just don't hold water, and I can't understand for the life of me why he's not held accountable by Goodell.
Well, isn't it getting to the point when we look at with the Redskins game, and now we look with Bengals at the Colts game, isn't it getting to the point, because I would think that coaches – team owners have a list of who's going to referee that game. It didn't get to the point where Chuck Pagano, for example, or Jim Irsay could say, well, Jeff Triplett is reffing this game here. We're going to put up a grievance, and we don't want him on the field of our game. Do they have the power to do that?
No, or every team in the NFL would do exactly that.
Well, I guess
they
don't. True.
They find out. They don't find out far before the game. I think they find out on Fridays who the officials are going to be. And that's an edict from, on high at the NFL offices. And you live with the guys that you like. And some guys, it's kind of like what kind of, do you like seafood or not? Some guys like some officials. Some guys don't. Ed Hightower is a college basketball official. I loved him when he was at Indiana, or when he'd do Indiana games. The people at DePaul University in Chicago absolutely loathed Ed Hightower and thought he was a disgrace. But it's pretty universal within the NFL that Jeff Triplett's a dope and an incompetent.
Go ahead and say it. you can say, are you there? Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe I lost you there. In this weather, you never know. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Bengals and the Colts. I got you for just a few more minutes here. I do want to talk about the Colts and the playoff picture. Obviously, the situation, we could talk about that play all day long. As bad as it was and as screwed up as it was, it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the game. There were so many things that the Colts did wrong. Chuck Pagano, I think, said it best. It's hard enough to win in the NFL. You can't compete against yourself. You can't beat yourself, and that's what happened with the Indianapolis Colts and the Cincinnati Bengals, and obviously the Bengals were coming in with the exact same records that the Colts did. Fortunately, the Colts had won enough games earlier on with a Tennessee loss to Denver. That's why I said thank you, Peyton Manning, yet again for winning a divisional series for the Indianapolis Colts. There were so many things that happened in that game, really crucial mistakes that can't happen once they get into the playoffs, play or go home. What are some of the things that you noticed that stood out to you with the Indianapolis Colts that, heck, now they're an 8-5 team?
Well, what they need, and this is something you can't coach, they need speed. They're lacking speed. In the defensive secondary, they lack a little bit of speed with Toler being hurt. that's a big deal because Cassius Vaughn is not the best cover corner in the NFL or on the Colts roster, and exposing him is not going to be a successful strategy again and again and again. They need Pillar back. He was able to play but didn't play because of the conditions. They thought he might restrain that groin. But I think he's going to go this week at home under the roof at Lucas Oil. I think offensively they've got to decide who they are, and they need to. They kind of threw the kids to the wolves last week with Derek Rogers and I'm spacing his name 15. Oh, Levon Brazil.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And those guys showed that they can play. And DHB is a guy who can't catch on out routes, and so they're going to have to adjust their game plan. I really think that they need to fit DHB and play the kids and see what they get.
Well, one thing for sure is really the Texans have nothing to lose except for messing up our playoff picture as far as how they can mess up with the Colts. But that said, we've won their division. We're going to the playoffs. Is this a game where we focus on, you know, a lot of the different stats? Obviously, we're 19-4 in the series record. The last time we played the Texans, we beat them 27-24. Last week, the Texans lost to the Jaguars. The Texans now have Wade Phillips as their interim coach again for the first time since Kubiak was fired. And, you know, a whole big mess going on over there in Houston in their own right, going from one of the best teams in the NFL to going to being one of the worst teams in the NFL. And you look at a coach that collapsed on the sidelines and then turned around and be fired. Of course, this is big boy game, big boy pay. They want some results. So the Texans maybe want to come in with a chip on their shoulder to beat the Colts, but do the Colts rest Andrew Luck? Do the Colts get to the point where they say, okay,
oh, no,
let's get ready for the playoffs? We're not in that situation.
I don't think so. I mean, you've got to find out what you do well, and you've got to start mixing and matching guys. You know, you've got to work with the offensive line. Do you still want Satelli to be the center? You want to move guys around a little bit. Joe Wright's played pretty well at guard. You want to get the young receivers in a position where in the playoffs they can help. And the only way to do that's with Andrew Luck on the field. I don't think you shut things down like Bill Pullian did a few years ago, in the second half of that Jets game, and then the virtual entirety of the Bills game to wrap up the season. You've got a lot of things to figure out, and these three games are going to be very important for how the Indianapolis Colts enter the playoffs. The Texans are a really good football team, and the interesting thing that we're going to find out on Sunday is how they respond to Wade Phillips as their head coach. Wade Phillips is a really, really nice guy, and players like playing for him. He's not very disciplined, so over time, his team, the quality of his team and their performance on the field tends to erode. But initially, guys play really hard for him, and it'll be interesting to see over the last three games of this regular season whether the Texans can – whether Phillips can kind of tap into the talent that he's got on the field and get those guys to invest these last three games and play hard.
Well, let's look at this AFC playoff picture. Okay, so the Colts, we would think – of course, the last time you and I had a conversation, so I really don't want to jinx this, but the last time you and I had a conversation, the last time you were on the show, was just a little bit, a couple weeks before the Colts played the Rams, and I said, you know, surely this should be a no-brainer, and I totally screwed that up. So I don't want to jinx us per se, but I'm going to go out there on a limb and say we're going to win against the Texans. So we go into the AFC playoff picture, if you will. Broncos, obviously. I mean, if you were to look at all the stars lining up, Peyton Manning is connected with everybody out there, from Decker to Welker. But of course, down there they're dealing with some injuries themselves. You're looking at Cincinnati playing some very good football, as we saw last week. In a lot of of course, there's always New England to contend with. When we look at the playoff picture and we step back and we look at it 30,000 feet up, if you will, where does this come together for the Colts? How do we do? And ultimately, I mean, if you were to make a prediction right now, does Peyton Manning get another Super Bowl?
Wow. Well, I don't think the Colts are lining up very well for the playoffs. I don't think that that's going to go too well. They're almost certainly going to be the fourth seed, and they're almost certainly going to play the Kansas City Chiefs here, which is a break, because you want to play them here. You don't want to play them in Kansas City.
Right.
But Kansas City is really good, and beating Kansas City is going to be a very difficult task given the level of play that the Colts have mustered over the last 6 weeks. The Broncos, you know, as far as they played in the regular season, you say they've got to be the prohibitive favorite to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. But then you look at who's under center, and you look at that, I think his record in the postseason is 9-11. And you know, I start to get a little bit hinky with Peyton Manning when you get to January. You know, he had that game won last year, and I don't think it was that bomb from Flacco where the coverage was broken that cost him that game. They had a 3rd-and-2, and Peyton ran it and chose to run. He played it safe. One pass, one completion, and that game's over. And Peyton put it on the ground, as he did a few years ago with the Colts to Joseph Addai. They get stoned, they have to kick, and all of a sudden the Ravens are back in the game. So when we get to the postseason, I get a little bit hanky with Peyton. But I think if he's going to win another ring, I think this year is a really good chance for him to do that.
Well, who do you think is the strongest, most dominant team in the AFC right now?
The Broncos.
And we look at the NFC.
Yeah, I think it's them.
And I couldn't agree with you more. And we look at the NFC picture, how it's shaping up. Those Eagles and Foles. You know, again, it may not be in the strongest position to win the NFC, but you look at the NFC picture right now, stepping back and looking at it, who do you think is the strongest NFC dominant team in the NFC in the playoffs?
I wouldn't bet against Seattle. Playing in Seattle is abject misery, and the Seahawks are likely to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs on that side. And that's going to make life hell for somebody, because Seattle's just weird. It's not the kind of place where you would think noise would be an issue. You know, people are kind of laid back there, and it's sort of this West Coast sort of pirate community. But, boy, it gets really loud, and it's a different place to play. I've been there. I've been on the sidelines, and it's a tough go for guys. And there's a reason why the Seahawks don't lose there, and I don't think they will.
Well, we're talking with Kent Sterling of KentSterling.com and 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis. We caught up with him a little bit earlier than this week because his show runs at the same time ours does here. But we appreciate Kent taking some time to join us. Now, Kent, I want to talk with you about another team that you wrote about. Obviously, I'm talking about our Indiana Pacers. And they just last night on Tuesday night beat the Miami Heat 90-84. You know, I'm a firm believer that even if the Heat didn't make it to the playoffs, to the NBA championships, somehow the national media would find a way to pick the Heat over whoever they were playing. So, but I wonder how many people did the Pacers win over on a national level, beating the Heat at home 90-84. What is really surprising to me with the Pacers, as much as they've won, as great of a season they've had this year, they still can't get all the fans out there to Bankers Live. As we saw last night, it was blacked out here in the local market.
Well, they sold it out last night, and that place was stacked to the rafters, and they've sold out 5 of 10 home dates. So the kind of the momentum is swinging toward the Pacers. But it's a terrific team. They're really likable guys. They're, you know, you watch them on the court. There are some teams where you watch guys play and you think, oh, he looks like a nice guy. And then you go into the locker room to cover him and he's just a jerk. These are not jerks. These are really, really good guys and the kind of team that Indianapolis ought to rally around. I think that the key for the Pacers, at least prior to New Year's Day, is coming up this Wednesday when they play at Miami. You know, it's one thing to they beat Miami over the past couple of years, all but one time that they played at Bankers Life. And Miami has won all but one game down in Miami. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of effort the Pacers can muster
on Wednesday night.
Well, I do as well. You know, a lot of people would say that the Pacers cannot keep playing with the momentum that they're playing. They can't keep putting everything on Paul George and Roy Hibbert, but they just keep managing to find a way. And Paul George is very, very, very hot. Would you say that the Pacers are looking like a national championship team right now?
Yeah, I think they do look like a championship team, but we're 22 games into the season. What they look like after game 50 or game 75 or the first round of the playoffs, that's going to be the real test. And the health of this team is going to be an interesting factor as we move forward. I think that, you know, David West, he can get a little dinged up. And having Luis Scola as a guy who can come in and play the four, I think is just enormous. Roy Hibbert's going to have to stay healthy. Obviously, Paul George is going to have to stay healthy. But they have a good, strong bench. And they have this collective attitude among them. And a guy who's really way under the radar as a highly respected NBA coach, at least in the media, Frank Vogel does a great job with these guys. And we get to watch the end of practices most of the time. And the way he communicates with these guys is exactly the way he ought to. He's kind of quiet. He's forceful. But he's not real demonstrative. He doesn't get loud with them. He just tells them what they need to do, and these guys are professionals. They do it. And I think that if the Pacers stay healthy, they have a really, really good chance of winning that NBA championship.
Well, wouldn't that be fantastic if somehow the Pacers were able to win a national championship after just really, if you look at everything they've been through over the last few years, it would be fantastic for the Pacers and fantastic for the city, especially after the Fever winning their prospective national championship as well. Well, we're talking with Kent Sterling of KentSterling.com and 1070 The Fan WIBC here in I still have not knocked that off. It's not WIBC anymore. It's 1070 The Fan. So I don't know why I do that. So I apologize. It is not WIBC. It used to be.
You're not alone. We get calls every week from people. People call 239-1070 and ask for Dick Crump every time that we're on. So.
Fun. Well, anyway, I want to talk with you about Nick Saban and Alabama. You know, feathers are ruffling down there in Longhorn Nation. A lot of people are speculating in social media that perhaps the reason he hasn't signed a contract extension that's been on his desk since Friday is because perhaps he's looking at another offer. And the only offer that I could see that Nick Saban would even entertain would be that Texas job. Does he know something that we don't know?
Well, I think that you're right. It's going to be interesting. And Nick Saban is a calculating guy. He negotiates with the same precision as he coaches. And he's going to wait until Mack Brown is gone. And then, the AD at Texas, Peterson, he's going to call the agent and say, here's what we can pony up. And the rumors are $10 million a year over a long period of time and that money's no object. I mean, their annual revenue is $163 million. And that's tops in all college athletics. They have more money than anybody else, and they can probably pay more. At the end of the day, whether Saban stays in Alabama or whether he goes to Texas, it's going to come down to who's got the deepest pockets and who can give him the best deal. And he's shown in the past he's not afraid to leave places.
Well, absolutely not. And I think, though, he could certainly stay there and be a legend above all legends. Well, Kent Sterling of KentSterling.com and 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis. Kent, I appreciate you coming on. It's always an honor to have you on. Is there anything that you'd like to cover that maybe we haven't talked with you about tonight?
No, not really. Just, I think that people in central Indiana are so fortunate to have not only the two professional franchises, the two major league franchises here in town, but the three colleges, really, in IU, Butler, and Purdue. The guys who run those operations are just class individuals. They do a lot for their respective communities, and I couldn't be more pleased, and I think people ought to be really, really happy that they work with such good stewards and that they're fans of schools and franchises that are such good stewards.
Kent, where can people find your work, your masterpieces, stalk you on social media, what have you?
Well, I write all the time on KentSterling.com, usually three or four pieces a day, post some video, some audio, at Kent Sterling on Twitter, and then on 1070 The Fan, you know, I'll do Dan Dockich every Friday, once in a while on Fridays, we'll do some segments, and then, of course, on 1070 The Fan, Ahead of the Curve with Chris Hagan and myself every Saturday from 11 to 1.
Absolutely. All right, Kent, we appreciate you coming on with us. Make sure you and your family have a safe and happy holiday season, sir.
You too. Thanks so much.
Yeah, all right. Kent Sterling of KentSterling.com and 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis. Coming on, talking with us a little bit about the Indianapolis Colts-Bengals debacle with the buffoon of a ref. Jeff Triplett, who's a disgrace to the game and should be fired. What are your thoughts? Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We'll be right back right after this. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. This is The Balance on the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back.